Why are we so surprised by the passage of time? C.S. Lewis says, "We are so little reconciled to time that we are even astonished at it. How he's grown," we exclaim. "How time flies!" As though the universal form of our experience were again and again a novelty. It is as strange as if a fish were repeatedly surprised at the wetness of the water. And that would be strange indeed. Unless, of course, the fish were destined to become one day a land animal. According to Lewis, we are surprised by time because time is not our natural environment. A fish is not surprised that it is wet because that is its natural environment. Our surprise over the passage of time is evidence that there is something more, that we were made for something more. Lewis borrows a German word to try to describe this, Sehnsucht. It is difficult to pronounce. It is even more difficult to translate. Sehnsucht. It can mean intense missing or great longing. Sehnsucht. Dean Nadasty makes this observation about Sehnsucht. It happens to us all. Inside of us is a feeling, well, more than a feeling, a conviction that what we experience right now in real time is never enough. We long for something more and something better. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, sees this as something universal. The creation waits with eager longing. It can happen in the midst of pain. We sense that somewhere in time, or perhaps beyond time, there has to be more, and it has to be better. It's not surprising, then, to read Paul's observation in verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. It can also happen in the midst of great elation, a glimpse of a beautiful sunset, or a moment rich with love fills us with joy. We may even say something like, "It doesn't get any better than this." But as soon as the moment passes, we start to wonder, when will the next one come? It's as if what's happening now is only a shadow of what is to come, as if Earth is begging for heaven. We live in the not yet, and yet it is in the not yet where we find Christian hope. Paul repeatedly mentions hope in our reading from Romans chapter 8. It's the chapter of hope, anticipating something more, something better. We wait, we imagine, we believe, and we grow in character. These are the four elements of hope: waiting, imagination, faith, and character. When we hope We are looking for something that is not yet here, waiting for something that has not yet arrived. This may be something that we expected. It may be a promise that was made, but it's not here yet. So we have to wait. But Christian waiting is not passive waiting. It's not like sitting in the waiting lounge of the doctor, reading a magazine or watching the television, which, if you've noticed, is no longer soap operas. It's some sort of infomercial about further medicine you need to tell your doctor to buy. But that's not the kind of waiting we're talking about, but a much more active waiting. In fact, Paul says it's like a woman in labor. It is waiting with effort. It is waiting in discomfort. It is waiting with intense expectation. For what? For what do we wait? Paul tells us, for the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For what do we wait? We wait for adoption. For what do we wait? For the redemption of our bodies. That's what he says. And all this and more will be ours when Christ returns for the second advent. There's more to come, and it is better. So we wait. The first element of hope is waiting. And the second hope of element is imagination. When we hope, we are longing for something, we don't see it. I mean, Paul explains it this way, in a very matter-of-fact way. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what is seen? We're hoping for something we don't see yet. We hope we will see it. In 1886, George Frederick Watts completed a painting that depicts a blindfolded woman in tattered clothes clinging to one last unbroken string on her harp. She cannot see, but she keeps playing and listening. Watts called his painting Hope. The apostle says, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? On the other hand, Jesus said to his followers, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. John 20, verse 29. At present, we do not see Jesus, but we can see signs that he is with us. We can see evidence of his love, but there's more to come, and it is better. The day is coming when we will actually see Jesus. John says, every eye will see him. Revelation 1, verse 7. Meanwhile, though we may not see him now, we can certainly imagine. Hope is nourished by our imagination. Read through the prophets. They use image after image after image to convey to God's people what's coming next. You want to have hope? Then you need to engage your imagination. The first element of hope is waiting. The second element of hope is imagination. The third element is faith. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, defines faith this way. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith and hope are partners. Faith brings content to hope. Faith plants what we imagine firmly in the promises of God. Faith pulls hope to one side and says, look, I know there seems to be something missing, okay? There's got to be more than just this. There's more to come, and it is better. God has promised. So we wait, we imagine, we trust. The fourth element of hope is character. Earlier in his letter to the Romans, Paul writes, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Suffering over time calls for endurance. Through this process, our character is strengthened. And one of the virtues that comes out of this field of hardship is hope. We learn in the crucible of life that God can be trusted. God gives us time, signs, promises, and even hardship. If we receive these with gratitude, they become the elements of hope: waiting, imagination, faith, and character. Through these, we have hope, a real hope, not just a prayer, much more. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he describes this hope as Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm not always consistent in my prayers, at least not the way I want. But each night, I try to remember to say at least this thing. I thank you, God, for the hope of glory. Because that's the all in all. Jesus is our hope. His sacrifice on the cross, his love, his power, his understanding, his compassion, his patience, his victory over death, his promises, his grace, his very presence is never going to forsake us. All give us hope. And my friends, this gift, unlike so many we receive at Christmas, will never let us down.